Phil, you got another book out that looks like a dandy. Congratulations, first off.
Thank you.
Let's go way back.
It's hard to believe.
Do you have any stories? I don't remember the last time we talked about this, whether we went back to the nitty-gritty or not, why Spring Grove Cemetery was created in the first place. And this goes back mid-19th century.
Exactly.
45, was it?
Around 1845.
Okay.
Yeah, and basically, citizens of Cincinnati didn't have really nice options for nice places to bury their loved ones. Most of the burials were in the downtown area. There were three cemeteries right across from Music Hall, where Washington Park is today. And those were very crowded, very cramped, very cluttered, thanks to Queen Victoria, because the Victorians not only cluttered their homes, they cluttered up their cemeteries. And it was Adolf Strauch. And this was a little bit later, after Spring Grove was founded in 1845. This was around 1855, when Adolf Strauch came over from Prussia, ended up staying here, thanks to Robert Bowler of Mount Storm fame in Clifton. And he was hired to be Spring Grove's superintendent and, of course, the master landscaper. And he was the first person in America to get rid of all the clutter. And that's why Spring Grove is so internationally renowned, because it was the first place to open up the vistas, get rid of all the tchotchkes and visual clutter that was everywhere. So it's, to my knowledge, one of the only, if not the only, cemetery in America that has no original lot fencing and all of that other visual clutter. Most other cemeteries of that era copied Adolf Strauch's landscape plan for design for cemeteries.
It's a huge place. I'm thinking that originally there were less acres than there are now. Have more been acquired
over?
Well,
they just started, you know, in 1845 purchasing farmland. It's built upon over, I think it was 52 parcels of private farmland. Yeah, and so now it is the second largest cemetery in the United States, 733 acres. So it will take a long time for it to fill up, if you may.
Fill up.
Yes.
And I have to say something, or you have to say something about the cover. Where did the cover
photo
come from?
Oh, my gosh. When I went to my publisher, Orange Fraser Press, the Holly Girls, as I call them, I told Marcy Holly, I want the cover of this book to kind of scream out, what in the world is this book about? I didn't want it to say cemetery, death, grief at all, because the book is about the people that are in Spring Grove Cemetery.
Resting there.
Yeah, resting. Thank you. Resting peacefully. I didn't know there were so many stories before I started working on this book. I mean, I had a lot of them, but it seemed like as I started writing, more and more stories came out of the woodwork. I would get emails from people all over the United States telling me about their grandfather buried in Spring Grove that invented something spectacular, or musicians. So, yeah, the cover is Tilly the Elephant from the John Robinson Traveling Circus. And it looks like Tilly is stepping on John Robinson, like laying down in the street. This story is actually about John Robinson and the family history, which is interesting because it's not just John Robinson that I talk about. I also talk about Eleonora Robinson, one of the Robinson girls who was an actress. She went out to Hollywood. She met George Reeves of Superman fame. And there's a great story about her as well.
And John was a circus man also.
Yes.
He ran the big circus here.
Absolutely. Terrace Park. I think in the basement of a church in Terrace Park, they have a wonderful kind of a museum.
I think you're right.
About the Robinson history.
Well, as long as we're on stories, let's keep on going with some other notable names. I mentioned Barney Rapp, Ruby Wright. Let's talk about them.
The most notable thing about Barney that impressed me was the fact that he was the person who changed Doris Kappelhoff to Doris Day. I had no idea. I've been friends with his daughter, Susie, and her husband, Herb, for many years, and she had told me some stories in the past, and I thought, I've got to do a story on Barney, but not just his musical career, which was fantastic, and also about Ruby, but about this fact that he changed Kappelhoff to Day, which is unbelievable.
I wonder, was it just a suggestion and she took it right away, or did she?
As far as I understand, yeah, I can't remember exactly what led up to Day. I mean, the actual name Day from Kapelhof.
Seems to have worked.
Yeah. Seems to have worked. Yeah, it was rather successful.
The brand new book by Phil Nuxalt is called Stories in the Grove, Phil's second book about Spring Grove. And what, in the first place, prompted you to continue on and write another book?
Because there are too many stories that people don't know about the people interred in Spring Grove. And people ask me all the time, tell me more about this person. Tell me more about that person. I love that the Dexter Mausoleum, but what's the story behind it? Who built it? Tell us about the families. And there's so many stories that are still unbelievable to me, like the man who made the first hot air balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, Tony Sarg. He's buried in Spring Grove. I had no idea until my friend Susan Olson, who basically does what I do at Greenwood Cemetery in the Bronx in New York, one day called me and she said, do you know where Tony Sarg is buried in Spring Grove? And I said, who's that? And then when she told me, I'm like, oh my gosh, well, there's another story.
And you went to work.
Yeah.
The Cool Ghoul.
Yeah.
Dick Von Hain, I believe, went to Purcell High School. That's a school I went to.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about him.
Well, he had a wonderful career in radio before he went into TV and started his famous show. I think it was on the weekends, like Friday or Saturday night.
Saturday,
nights.
I believe. Yeah,
yeah, it was kind of like a shock theater, which I watched all the time. I lived for the weekend so I could watch The Cool Ghoul and Shock Theater. But I also think that that kind of gave people the idea that all cemeteries were creepy, because a lot of those movies that The Cool Ghoul showed on TV involved a
creepy cemetery,
like Dracula and Frankenstein. So I'm always trying to tell people that Spring Grove's not like that.
Wade Hoyt.
Yeah, Wade Hoyt. This is one of my favorite stories in the book because, again, a lot of people aren't aware of his connection to the funerary business. Wade, he worked for his first wife's father at a funeral home, but not in Cincinnati. It was in New York. Many people that do know about his connection to the industry just assume that he worked at Spring Grove. And I've had many people argue with me and said, oh, no, he was an undertaker for Spring Grove, which is he'd never worked for Spring Grove. It was in New York. And he was known as the Merry Mortician. Yeah. How about that? He got into an argument with his father-in-law and quit working for him. And then he opened up his own, I think it was a funeral home, which didn't really succeed because I think the lead mortician died like within the first year.
Like, when was this? What decade era was this?
This was terrible with the dates and numbers. I think it was around the 1940s, maybe.
You mentioned the fact that you wanted to put more information in this book and less photos. There are photos, though, right?
I was telling Lee Hay that I was able to find archival photos, old photos, for just about every story in the book. So that's almost 115. We found original photos of Tony Sarg standing next to the first hot air balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I've got a great picture of Barney Rapp with Doris Day. Caldonia, oh my gosh. I almost had to say, stop the press. We cannot go to print unless we have a good photo of Caldonia. And my gosh, she just kind of like appeared out of nowhere. So yeah, there's some really fun photos that probably have not been seen in a long time.
And you came up with a lot of them, too. What about challenges? Did you have any challenges put together?
Oh,
and
yeah.
What were some?
The top challenge, how many stories to include. When I first started working on the book, I sat down and I made a list of my priorities as far as I want these stories in the book. Well, it just went on and on and on. Of course, my publisher just shook her head and said, there's no way. You've got to cut this down. So that was the biggest challenge, because there are thousands of stories. I mean, everybody has a story, but you only have so much room and so much money in the book to include.
Did you say you whittled it down to
115? That is 115.
Wow.
Yeah. But I started out with like 600. I mean, seriously, 600. It was quite daunting.
Now, going back to the very beginning, Dr. Daniel Drake had a lot to do with Spring Grove opening, did he not?
Yeah.
Is he buried in the cemetery?
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, yeah. Doc Drake, his family. Supposedly, he was the person who referred to the winding roads of Spring Grove as representing the country and the straight roads representing the city. So that was quite interesting.
Are you going to be out and about signing these books? You have several books already. Booksellers on Fountain Square coming up on Thursday, the 24th of April. Joseph mm-hmm. Beth on mm-hmm. Thursday, May 8th. Also be right there at Spring Grove on Sunday, right at noon on May 25th.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Nice.
That's really going to be nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to be in the Norman Chapel. So we're really looking forward to that. That's going to be a big one.
Phil, thanks so much for visiting with us. Thanks so much for this wonderful book.
My pleasure. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
It's called Stories in the Grove, Phil Nuxhall's most recent. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.